The Pharsalia, also known as The Civil War, by Lucan, Marcus Annaeus Lucanus, translated by Sir Edward Ridley, 1896. Book 1, The Crossing of the Rubicon. Wars worse than civil on Amathian plains, and crime let loose, we sing, how Rome's high race plunged in her vitals her victorious sword. Armies akin embattled, with the force of all the shaken earth bent on the fray, and burst asunder to the common guilt a kingdom's compact. Eagle with eagle met, standard to standard, spear opposed to spear. Whence, citizens, this rage, this boundless lust, to sate barbarians with the blood of Rome? Did not the shade of Crassus, wandering still, cry for his vengeance? Could ye not have spoiled, to deck your trophies, haughty Babylon? Why wage campaigns that send no laurels home? What lands, what oceans might have been the prize of all the blood thus shed in civil strife? Where Titan rises, where night hides the stars, neath southern noons all quivering with heat, or where keen frost that never yields to spring in icy fetters binds the Scythian main. Long since, barbarians by the eastern sea and far Araxes' stream, and those who know, if any such there be, the birth of Nile, had felt our yoke. Then, Rome, upon thyself, with all the world beneath thee, if thou must, wage this nefarious war, but not till then. Now view the houses with half-ruined walls throughout Italian cities. Stone from stone has slipped and lies at length. Within the home no guard is found, and in the ancient streets so scarce seen the passer-by. The fields in vain, rugged with brambles and unploughed for years, ask for the hand of man, for man is not. Nor savage Pyrrhus, nor the Punic horde, e'er caused such havoc. To no foe was given to strike thus deep, but civil strife alone dealt the fell wound and left the death behind. Yet if the fates could find no other way for Nero coming, nor the gods with ease gain thrones in heaven, and if the thunderer prevailed not till the giant's war was done, complaint is silent. For this boon supreme, welcome, ye gods, be wickedness and crime. Thronged with our dead be dire Pharsalia's fields, be Punic ghosts avenged by Roman blood. Add to these ills the toils of Mutina, Perusia's dearth, on Munda's final field, the shock of battle joined. Let Lucas's cape shatter the routed navies, servile hands unsheath the sword on fiery Aetna's slopes. Still Rome is gainer by the civil war. Thou, Caesar, art her prize. When thou shalt choose, thy watch relieved, to seek divine abodes, all heaven rejoicing, and shalt hold a throne, or else elect to govern Phoebus' car, and light a subject world that shall not dread to owe her brightness to a different sun. All shall concede thy right. Do what thou wilt. Select thy godhead, and the central clime whence thou shalt rule the world with power divine. And yet, the northern or the southern pole, we pray thee choose not, but in rays direct, vouchsafe thy radiance to thy city Rome. Press thou on either side, the universe should lose its equipoise. Take thou the midst, and weight the scales, and let that part of heaven, where Caesar sits, be evermore serene, and smile upon us with unclouded blue. Then may all men lay down their arms, and peace throughout the nations reign, and shut the gates that close the temple of the god of war. Be thou my help, to me e'en now divine. Let Delphi's steep her own Apollo guard, and Nyssa keep her Bacchus uninvoked. Rome is my subject, and my muse art thou. First of such deeds, I purpose to unfold the causes, task immense, what drove to arms a maddened nation, and from all the world struck peace away. By envious fate's decrees, abide not long the mightiest lords of earth. Beneath too heavy a burden, great the fall. Thus Rome o'ergrew her strength. So when that hour, the last in all the centuries, shall sound the world's disruption, all things shall revert to that primeval chaos. Stars on stars shall crash, and fiery meteors from the sky plunge in the ocean. Earth shall then no more front with her bulwark the encroaching sea. The moon, indignant at her path oblique, shall drive her chariot gainst her brother sun, and claim the day for hers, and discord huge shall rend the spheres asunder. On themselves great powers are dashed. Such bounds the gods have placed upon the prosperous, nor doth fortune lend to any nations, so that they may strike the sovereign power that rules the earth and sea, the weapons of her envy. Triple reign and baleful compact for divided power, ne'er without peril separate before, made Rome their victim. Oh, ambition blind, that stirred the leaders so to join their strength in peace that ended ill, their prize, the world. For while the sea on earth and earth on air lean for support, while Titan runs his course, and night with day divides an equal sphere, no king shall brook his fellow, nor shall power endure a rival. Search no foreign lands. These walls are proof that in their infant days a hamlet, not the world, was prize enough to cause the shedding of a brother's blood. Concord, on discord based, brief time endured, unwelcome to the rivals, and alone Crassus delayed the advent of the war. Like to the slender neck that separates the seas of Graecia, should it be engulfed, then would Thionian and Aegean mains break each on other. Thus when Crassus fell, who held apart the chiefs, in piteous death, and stained Assyria's plains with Latian blood, defeat in Parthia loosed the war in Rome. More in that victory than ye thought was won, ye sons of Arsaces. Your conquered foes took at your hands the rage of civil strife. The mighty realm that earth and sea contained, to which all peoples bowed, split by the sword, could not find space for two. For Julia bore, cut off by fate unpitying, the bond of that ill-omened marriage, and the pledge of blood united to the shades below. Hadst thou but longer stayed, it had been thine to keep the husband and the sire apart, and, as the Sabine women did of old, dash down the threatening swords and join the hands. With thee all trust was buried, and the chiefs could give their courage vent and rush to war. Lest newer glories, triumphs past obscure, late conquered Gaul the bays from pirates won. This, Magnus, was thy fear. Thy roll of fame, of glorious deeds accomplished for the state, allows no equal. Nor will Caesar's pride a prior rival in his triumphs brook, which had the right 'twere impious to inquire. Each for his cause can vouch a judge supreme, the victor, heaven, the vanquished, Cato, thee. Nor were they like to like, the one in years, now verging towards decay, in times of peace, had unlearned war, but thirsting for applause, had given the people much, and proud of fame, his former glory cared not to renew, but joyed in plaudits of the theatre, his gift to Rome. His triumphs in the past, himself the shadow of a mighty name. as when some oak, in fruitful field sublime, adorned with venerable spoils and gifts of bygone leaders, by its weight to earth, with feeble roots still clings. Its naked arms and hollow trunk, though leafless, give a shade, and though condemned beneath the tempest's shock to speedy fall, amid the sturdier trees, in sacred grandeur, rules the forest still. No such repute had Caesar won, nor fame, but energy was his that could not rest. The only shame he knew was not to win. Keen and unvanquished, where revenge or hope might call, resistless would he strike the blow with sword unpitying. Every victory won, reaped to the full, the favor of the gods, pressed to the utmost, all that stayed his course, aimed at the summit of power, was thrust aside. Triumph his joy, though ruin marked his track. As parts the clouds, a bolt by winds compelled, with crack of riven air and crash of worlds, and veils the light of day, and on mankind, blasting their vision with its flames oblique, sheds deadly fright. Then, turning to its home, naught but the air opposing, through its path spreads havoc, and collects its scattered fires. Such were the hidden motives of the chiefs. But in the public life, the seeds of war their hold had taken, such as are the doom of potent nations. And when fortune poured through Roman gates the booty of a world, the curse of luxury, chief bane of states, fell on her sons. Farewell the ancient ways. Behold the pomp profuse, the houses decked with ornament, their hunger loathed the food of former days. Men wore attire for dames, scarce fitly fashioned. Poverty was scorned, fruitful of warriors. And from all the world came that which ruins nations. While the fields, furrowed of yore by great Camillus's plow, or by the mattock which a curious held, lost their once narrow bounds, and widening tracts by hinds unknown were tilled. No nation this to sheath the sword, with tranquil peace content, and with her liberties, but prone to ire, crime holding light as though by want compelled. And great the glory in the minds of men, ambition lawful, even at point of sword, to rise above their country, might their law. Decrees are forced from senate and from plebs. Consul and tribune break the laws alike. Bought are the fasces, and the people sell for gain their favor. Bribery's fatal curse corrupts the annual contests of the field. Then covetous usury rose, and interest was greedier ever as the seasons came. Faith tottered. Thousands saw their gain in war. Caesar has crossed the Alps, his mighty soul, great tumults pondering, and the coming shock. Now on the marge of Rubicon he saw, in face most sorrowful and ghostly guise, his trembling country's image. Huge it seemed through mists of night obscure, and hoary hair streamed from the lofty front with turrets crowned. Torn were her locks, and naked were her arms. Then thus, with broken sighs, the vision spake. What seek ye, men of Rome? And whither hence bear ye my standards? If by right ye come, my citizens, stay here. These are the bounds. No further dare. But Caesar's hair was stiff with horror as he gazed, and ghastly dread restrained his footsteps on the further bank. Then spake he, Thunderer, who from the rock Tarpeian seest the wall of mighty Rome, gods of my race who watched o'er Troy of old, thou, Jove of Alba's height, and Vestal fires, and rites of Romulus erst wrapped to heaven, godlike Rome, be friendly to my quest. Not with offense or hostile arms I come, thy Caesar, conqueror by land and sea, thy soldier here and wheresoe'er thou wilt. No others, his only be the guilt, whose acts make me thy foe. He gives the word, and bids his standards cross the swollen stream. So in the wastes of Afric's burning clime, the lion crouches as his foes draw near, feeding his wrath the while. His lashing tail provokes his fury. Stiff upon his neck bristles his mane. Deep from his gaping jaws resounds a muttered growl, and should a lance or javelin reach him from the hunter's ring, scorning the puny scratch, he bounds afield. From modest fountain, blood-red Rubicon, in summer's heat, flows on. His pygmy tide creeps through the valleys, and with slender marge divides the Italian peasant from the Gaul. Then winter gave him strength, and fraught with rain the third day's crescent moon, while eastern winds thawed from the alpine slopes the yielding snow. The cavalry first form across the stream to break the torrent's force. The rest with ease, beneath their shelter, gain the further bank. When Caesar crossed and trod beneath his feet the soil of Italy's forbidden fields, "Here," spake he, "peace, here broken laws be left. Farewell to treaties. Fortune, lead me on. War is our judge, and in the fates our trust." Then, in the shades of night, he leads the troops, swifter than Balearic sling or shaft, winged by retreating Parthian, to the walls of threatened Rimini, while fled the stars, save Lucifer, before the coming sun, whose fires were veiled in clouds, by south wind driven, or else at heaven's command. And thus drew on the first dark morning of the civil war. Now stand the troops within the captured town, their standards planted, and the trumpet clang rings forth in harsh alarums, giving note of impious strife. Roused from their sleep, the men rush to the hall and snatch the ancient arms long hanging through the years of peace. The shield with crumbling frame, dark with the tooth of rust, their swords, and javelins with blunted point. But when the well-known signs and eagles shone, and Caesar towering o'er the throng was seen, they shook for terror. Fear possessed their limbs, and thoughts unuttered stirred within their souls. Oh, miserable those to whom their home denies the peace that all men else enjoy! Placed as we are beside the northern bounds, and scarce a footstep from the restless Gaul, we fall the first. Would that our lot had been beneath the eastern sky, or frozen north, to lead a wandering life, rather than keep the gates of Latium. Brennus sacked the town, and Hannibal, and all the Teuton hosts. For when the fate of Rome is in the scale, by this path war advances. Thus they moan their fears, but speak them not. No sound is heard, giving their anguish utterance. As when, in depth of winter, all the fields are still, the birds are voiceless, and no sound is heard to break the silence of the central sea. But when the day had broken through the shades of chilly darkness, lo, the torch of war! For by the hand of fate is swift dispersed all Caesar's shame of battle, and his mind scarce doubted more, and fortune toiled to make his action just and give him cause for arms. For while Rome doubted, and the tongues of men spoke of the chiefs who won them rights of yore, the hostile senate, in contempt of right, drove out the tribunes. They to Caesar's camp with Curio hasten, who of venal tongue, bold, prompt, persuasive, had been wont to preach of freedom to the people, and to call upon the chiefs to lay their weapons down. And when he saw how deeply Caesar mused, "While from the rostrum I had power," he said, "to call the populace to aid thy cause, by this my voice, against the Senate's will, was thy command prolonged. But silenced now our laws in war, we driven from our homes, yet is our exile willing. For thine arms shall make us citizens of Rome again. Strike! For no strength as yet the foe hath gained. Occasion calls, delay shall mar it soon. Like risk, like labor, thou hast known before, but never such reward. Could Gallia hold thine armies 10 long years ere victory came, that little nook of earth? One paltry fight or twain, fought out by thy resistless hand, and Rome for thee shall have subdued the world. 'Tis true no triumph now would bring thee home, no captive tribes would grace thy chariot wheels, winding in pomp around the ancient hill. Spite gnaws the factions, for thy conquests won, scarce shalt thou be unpunished. Yet 'tis fate, thou shouldst subdue thy kinsmen. Share the world with him thou canst not, rule thou canst alone." As when at Elis's festival a horse, in stable, pent, gnaws at his prison bars impatient, and should clamor from without, strike on his ear, bounds furious at restraint. So then was Caesar, eager for the fight, stirred by the words of Curio. To the ranks he bids his soldiers, with majestic mien and hand commanding silence as they come. "Comrades," he cried, "victorious returned, who by my side for 10 long years have faced, mid alpine winters and on arctic shores, the 1,000 dangers of the battlefield, is this our country's welcome, this her prize, for death and wounds and Roman blood outpoured? Rome arms her choicest sons. The sturdy oaks are felled to make a fleet. What could she more if from the Alps fierce Hannibal were come with all his Punic host? By land and sea Caesar shall fly. Fly? Though in adverse war our best had fallen, and the savage Gaul were hard upon our track, we would not fly. And now, when fortune smiles and kindly gods beckon us on to glory, let him come fresh from his years of peace, with all his crowd of conscript burgesses, Marcellus's tongue and Cato's empty name. We will not fly. Shall eastern hordes and greedy hirelings keep their loved Pompeius ever at the helm? Shall chariots of triumph be for him, though youth and law forbade them? Shall he seize on Rome's chief honors, ne'er to be resigned? And what of harvests blighted through the world, and ghastly famine made to serve his ends? Who hath forgotten how Pompeius's bands seized on the forum, and with glittering arms made outraged justice tremble, while their swords hemmed in the judgment seat where Milo stood? And now, when worn and old and ripe for rest, greedy of power, the impious sword again he draws, as tigers in Hyrcanian woods wandering, or in the caves that saw their birth, once having lapped the blood of slaughtered kine, shall never cease from rage. E'en so this whelp of cruel Sulla, nursed in civil war, outstrips his master, and the tongue which licked that reeking weapon ever thirsts for more. Stain once the lips with blood, no other meal they shall enjoy. And shall there be no end of these long years of power and of crime? Nay, this one lesson, ere it be too late, learn of thy gentle Sulla, to retire! Of old, his victory o'er Cilician thieves and Pontus's weary monarch gave him fame by poison scarce attained. His latest prize shall I be, Caesar, I who would not quit my conquering eagles at his proud command? Nay, if no triumph is reserved for me, let these at least of long and toilsome war 'neath other leaders the rewards enjoy. Where shall the weary soldier find his rest? What cottage homes their joys? What fields their fruit shall to our veterans yield? Will Magnus say that pirates only till the fields alight? Unfurl your standards. Victory gilds them yet, as through those glorious years. Deny our rights? He that denies them makes our quarrel just. Nay, use the strength that we have made our own. No booty seek we, nor imperial power. This would-be ruler of subservient Rome, we force to quit his grasp, and heaven shall smile on those who seek to drag the tyrant down.